Hello, people. Just trying to work out my thing here. How do you block this thing out? There, okay. That was such a good word from Warwick. It was bang on, I thought. So thank you for sharing that. And it really goes to something that I feel to share this morning. I do not find this easy, given that I'm leaving to come up the front now and to speak. And I think you can, if you're in my shoes, you probably feel the same. And so I've, you know, been struggling very much how to get into the right mode. It's not an easy thing to do. And I think where I've got to in this is that I thought in the next 3 weeks that I'd like to share things that I want to leave you with. You know, I'm not just going to get up and just be the speaker and do a teach. Your family, and we've heard that this morning, and so a member of your family is leaving, and I thought there are certain things that I would love to leave you with over these next 3 weeks, just some heartbeats, but also gleaning from a strange bunch of characters out of the Bible. So that's where I'm going to head over the next 3 weeks. And then Ruby's going to pick up on the final one of this month, and then on the 6th, Wilson with his committal to, you know, Urban Neighbours of Hope. Yeah. So let's pray, shall we? Yeah, let's pray. So our God, we thank you for so many good reminders in this service thus far. Reminders of who we are and who you are. And we thank you that you speak through song and children and instrument, and you speak through a word of prophecy, and you speak through even people like myself, and you speak through all of us as we turn to each other, and you continue to whisper as we leave this place. We thank you that we are here, and you are here, and we are here together. We thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, we bought a house. So, and as some of you know, Ruby and I, for 40 years, felt that we could never really live where we wanted to live. So we knew that when we embarked on our journey, our faith journey, this doesn't have to be you, this is just our faith journey, that when we embarked on our faith journey, Ruby especially sensed really deep in her spirit that she had to give up on the dream of having a house that she would love. And I would have to say that for 40 years, we have been willing to live anywhere, anywhere, and do whatever, and with whoever. And for a lot of those decades, it's been really extremely hard. But we had this real sense when we were most unexpectedly spoken to, and with that, and that was in July, of this year, and with that, Ruby had this real sense of freedom. And it was almost like the Lord was giving her permission, after 40 years in the wilderness, but 40 years, that she could now buy the house of her dreams. And she never thought it was going to come. And so she has. And I've got two photos. So the best I could come up with. Now, what do I do here again? I go like this. So it's 11 Nile Street and Whanganui East. Oh, can you see that? Is that? It's probably just the camera or something. But anyway, it gives you an idea. And here's another. So that's sort of the side of the house. There was a far better photo on Trade Me in terms of the front. But just because we've now bought it, that photo's gone. It's off the site. And here's the back. Yeah, so you can see why Ruby, she's feeling quite good right now. It is just a cute little, it's full of character. That's the house that we've gone unconditional on now. And it only happened just the other day. I think it was Thursday or Friday. Now, to buy this house, admittedly, house prices in Whanganui are a lot cheaper than Auckland. But to buy this house, we're selling our house on Halva, and you know, on Halva, we're selling that house. And you know, when you're in the process of buying and selling, you have to check up on a lot of things. So we started to check up on, you know, whether all our documents were, and to our absolute shock and horror, we discovered that our house on Halva hadn't been insured for 5 years. Ay, 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 ay. So, Alex, it's good that you didn't burn it down. you go through the documents and somehow Ruby didn't do her job. Who here, I don't do the banking, insurance and all the financial stuff. Ruby does it all. Anyone else where it's the woman? Okay. So she didn't do her job, and she got a spank for that. No, so we quickly insured. It is insured now, and it sort of reminded me afresh that checkups are good. Actually, to get into the habit of doing checkups, all manner of checkups, and you see, it got me to think that if we do checkups, it's really important as Christians that we check up on our faith, how our faith is. I got these verses here. It says here three things will last forever, and faith, hope, and love. And so we need to be doing checkups on these three things a lot. And the one that I want to talk about is faith, doing a kind of an annual checkup on faith. And we're actually encouraged to do this because it says in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. So we're absolutely encouraged to do this kind of test, to examine our faith, to do a checkup. So I, at this point, could get you to turn to the person next to you and say to them how your faith is. But of course, I'm not going to do that. Sigh of relief, everybody. Because when I thought about this, how do you actually do a checkup on your faith? How do you do a checkup? If you want to do a checkup on your body, you go to a doctor. Straightforward. If you want to do a checkup on your car, you go for a warrant of fitness. But if you want to do a checkup on your faith, how do you do a checkup? Now chat with the person next to you on that question. How do you do a checkup on your faith? Have a chat. Okay, friends. Now, I don't know how what you shared with the person next to you, but there is one little passage of Scripture, because over the next 3 weeks, as I say, I want to share some unique pieces of Scripture that have meant a lot to me over my 40 years. And here's the first one. And I think embedded in this passage of Scripture is a insightful piece of advice on how to do a checkup on faith. Okay? So I wonder if we could actually read it out together. Can you read that? Just. I wonder if we could all read this out aloud. As they did in the early church, they read out aloud together Scripture. Can we read this together? A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Please never forget that piece of Scripture. And what I see in that is that, you know, here are four guys and they've got a mate. And the mate is really, really sick and in need of help. And so they bundle the guy up, put him on a stretcher, and they have heard that there's an itinerant preacher in town, and they just have to follow the human traffic, and they end up in this house. They can't get him in. He's on a stretcher. And so they do the next best thing, which they climb on someone else's roof and indulge in a bit of antisocial behavior, which I think even to this day is a little bit illegal, and basically destroy someone's roof. And, you know, it says in the passage that Jesus looked up and saw their faith, but what did the owners look up and see? There goes my roof, you know. But it says in that passage, as I said, that Jesus saw their faith. Now, what did he see? To see their faith. You see, that's the question. He noticed that they had faith. But how did he notice that? How did he gauge? How could he kind of know that they had faith? Was it that Jesus looked into their eyes and could see such intensity in their eyes? I don't think so. I mean, was it that Jesus could tell that there were blocks of belief, you know, moving around in their heads? I'm not too sure that that's what we're being told in this passage. Was it that Jesus kind of, in a psychic sort of way, could tell that, you know, they had these feelings of certitude? They just felt so certain. I don't even think that's where it's at in this passage. I mean, what did Jesus see? What he saw was four guys go to extraordinary lengths to help another human being. And secondly, to take that human being to Jesus. That's what he saw. And my friends, that's what faith looks like. When we go to extraordinary lengths to help another human being and take them to Jesus. That's what faith looks like. Because you know what's happening in Western spirituality these days? We're part of the Western world. and the church takes on a Western kind of view of things. And what's happening in Western spirituality is that faith has become just an inward, interior thing. And in Western spirituality, faith is, it's like, it's all about, you know, your head and your heart. What you think and how you feel. And to become a person of faith, it's like you've got to have these blocks of belief and these internal feelings of certitude. And if you've got those two things according to Western spirituality, you are a person of faith. You can give a tick when you do your checkup on faith. But Jesus here, he just didn't see head and heart. He saw this. He saw hands that were at work. Because to lift the stretcher required hands. So faith is not just about heads and hearts. It is about those two. But those two are reflected in hands. Hands that will go to extraordinary lengths to help another human being and introduce them to Jesus. And friends, when I consider my life, and with all humility in what I'm about to say, in the last 40 years, I have attempted that. I can look at myself in the mirror, and I know deep down that for nigh on four decades, I have attempted to go to extraordinary lengths and to use these hands to bring people to Jesus. I may not be very good at it. I may not have been effective, but I know in my heart of hearts that's what I've sought to do. Going to Manila and living in a plywood shack for 10 years was going to extraordinary lengths. And after that, you know, giving myself to this person, that person, and this person, where, you know, at times I would meet up with people once a week for 4 years, you know. Strangers, they were strangers at first. And then even in my own small way of coming here, and even taking someone who didn't know Christ into our home, and us living with them and them living with us, is in part going to extraordinary lengths to introduce someone to Jesus. As I say, I may not be good at this sort of stuff. But that's what I wanted to leave with you. That you will never forget this one thing from me. To go to extraordinary lengths. To help another human being. And introduce them to Jesus. And it may be a family member. Look, I'm about to go to Whanganui to live, and family are there. And it's a scary thought. Because my family are self-confessed atheists. And I'm an embarrassment to them. They've said it. Just the last visit to Whanganui, my mother, somewhat combatively, said, "I'm an atheist." It's not the first time she said it. And so, me going to Whanganui is again giving expression to going to extraordinary lengths to be there for a family member. I'm still the only Christian in my family. It may be for you a friend, a former school friend, that you are being called to go to extraordinary lengths to be there for them and maybe introduce them to Jesus. You know, I came across this story this last week. And it's this woman by the name of Emily, and she left school, topped the class, as it were, started to go to uni. She became a member of the Baha'i faith. Interestingly, I became a member of the Baha'i faith many years ago in my hippie drug days, you know. And she became a member of the Baha'i faith, and it didn't quite work for her as it didn't work for me, and that's not a statement of disrespect, by the way. It's just how it was. And then this girl called Emily, she desperately needed to get a job, and so she landed this job pasting pornography thingies, whatever you call them, onto websites. And she thought that this would pay well. And then she struck up a relationship with a guy, and she knew deep down that her life was spiraling down. And then, out of the blue, she gets a text message or something from a former school friend. And this school friend had become a Christian. And in him wanting to be there for someone else, he thought, what can I do? And he thought of former school friends that he had drifted away from. And so he got in touch with her, contacted her, and said, I've become a Christian. Would you like to come to Alpha? And she and the guy that she was living with, Aaron, they said, well, who's not, you know. So they went to Alpha, and they couldn't believe that they were still there 10 weeks later. And to cut a long story short, they became believers. They then had to live apart, you know, and then with the guidance of their pastor, they came back together in marriage. And, I mean, the rest of the story is, it's a great story. But what was the hinge moment? What was the turning point? It was people like you who went to extraordinary lengths and contacted a former school friend and invited Emily and her man to Alpha and stuck by them. You know, to finish, Ruby and I have been married for 36 very long years. And by the way, she's not here this morning because she had to speak at a mayoral breakfast in Tauranga on Thursday, I think it was. And then after that, she's at the assembly, the Baptist Assembly, which is an annual gathering thing for those who might not know. And so we've been married for 36 years. And, you know, they haven't been easy. The times when it was really difficult, and I've made some big mistakes in my marriage and in my role as a husband, and things that I've had to apologize for, and so on. Now, if I wanted to gauge on how our relationship is currently, you know, if I wanted to do a checkup on my relationship with Ruby, I mean, how would I do that? I mean, what I could do is that, you know, I could stretch out my skin bag, and I could look inside, and I could, so those are my current beliefs about Ruby. Oh, and how do I currently feel about those current beliefs? You know, I could do that kind of checkup, you know, look at head and heart. But that's just way too easy, isn't it? Because we can convince ourselves, can't we? That's easy. You know, a better thing to do, but it'd be a lot more difficult, would be for me to actually come to some of you and say, well, you've seen Ruby and me in operation. What have you observed? Could you tell me how you've seen us interact with each other and interact with others? I mean, that would be a better way of doing the checkup. And an even better way of doing a checkup, and an even more harder one, would be for me to go to Ruby and say to Ruby, so how am I doing? Now, I'm not going to do that. have you seen her when she's honest? But, I mean, you get the point. You see, the way to do checkups is to not just look at beliefs, it's to look at behaviors. And it applies as much to faith as it does to love. So if you want to know how your faith is, what are your behaviors like? And especially behaviors around going to extraordinary lengths to help another human being and maybe introduce them to Jesus. Please don't ever forget that. Let's all stand. So I'm going to just send you on your way now. It's nice to see you here, Tricia. I'm just going to send you on your way now, and may you go into this week as people who, yes, do have hidden hearts, but go into this week also with hands and mouths and feet. Be a holistic, fully embodied person as you come alongside other people in your office, workplace, in your work life, at home, with neighbor, with children, with whoever, wherever, and be willing to do whatever. And so, Lord, that would be my prayer as I send these dear folk their way. Help us all, enable us all to be people of faith, where what we do reflects what is in our heart and our heads. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we all said, Amen. God bless you, people.